season focus, which deals with mutual forgiveness. Mutual forgiveness. Very important. You know, somebody can say, and here's something on forgiveness you got to remember, folks. If you do something, let's say Gene does something against Marion, and somebody would say to the pastor, "Pastor, you got to forgive." And my statement is, I can't forgive anything if it's not done against me. Forgiveness deals with whatever act it is that needs forgiving. It's between those people. It is not between a third party. It can only be received. I've heard many times the parents say, "I'm sorry for what my child did." Well, you've got right now the young 16-year-old that got drunk, killed four people, and got 10-year probation because of his claim that he was raised in a wealthy family and was never told the difference between right and wrong. I never saw that work in a criminal case before, but it worked with him quite well. Not only that, affluenza, yes, affluency. He's too rich and didn't know any better.
And his parents were doing the same thing.
Yeah, they would, and they could not teach him. You know, that's when in the old days, they get out of line, you just give them a good whooping. Now I can almost get in trouble for saying giving them a good whipping, but those are the ones that need the whooping. Okay, let's look at focusing on mutual forgiveness. Matthew 6, 9 through 15. "This then is how you should pray." Listen to what Jesus says. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, verse 14, let me jump down there. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Many Christians have problems with that. Does that mean then if I'm harboring a grudge, or I'm harboring unforgiveness in my heart against someone else, does that mean that I'm unforgiven and cannot enter heaven? No. What it simply means is you have to live with the consequences of that unforgiveness as a human being. You tell me somebody that's holding unforgiveness within their heart, and I'll show you an individual that's just eat up with bitterness and hatred, and they hurt. The other individual may be just fine. It doesn't bother them at all. They're not dealing with it. But the person who refuses to forgive, then if you don't do that, then your Father, Heavenly Father, will also will not forgive you if you do not forgive men their sins. Many, again, want to say that. Now, see, that means if somebody has done something horrible against you, and let's just bring that out. Let's say that you have an individual that has, for whatever the reason, ended up killing your child. And it's in drunkenness or whatever it is, maliciousness, and that individual has killed your child. And then everybody says, "Now, you got to forgive." But have you noticed that everybody tells somebody else what they need to do, and yet they do not do it themselves? Where does that leave us? That leaves us hurting, folks. Forgiveness is difficult. Okay, here's the lesson for us, though. God wanted us to see this hurt and pain of the wrong that's done against us and the need for forgiveness. Jesus came. He didn't commit any sin. He did nothing wrong. All he did was good. And yet he took all of our sin upon himself, and forgave us that our trespasses against the universe. And he forgave us. And you see how hard it is for us to deal with forgiveness. And yet Christ dealt with forgiveness for every human being that has ever been born or ever will be born. That just gives you a picture of how much love that God has for us. How much he wants us to have peace. When you have a heart that is holding a grudge, you will never have peace. When you have a heart that has created in you such a mean spirit, you will never, ever have peace. That anger will completely destroy you. It will devour you. Because I've watched individuals that have such bitterness for someone else that has done something against them. Well, anyone then that reminds them, a personality that reminds them of that individual, they don't like them either. Because they remind them of the hurt and the pain that the individual had committed against them. So they just don't like it, period. Yes, ma'am.
So does that mean that we're not supposed to be hurt over, if we're to forgive someone for something horrible that they've done to us, are we not supposed to hurt?
It has nothing to do with hurt. I've been stabbed 4 times. I had a knot coming on my back, and I had Faye and Hunter, my 2 main doctors, were checking it out. And I said, "What is that back there?" She said, "Well, it's at the end of one of the scars of when you were stabbed." And she said, "Don't worry about it, scar tissue." So, see, I'm not going to worry about it. It's scar tissue because my doctor told me that it was. By the way, don't ever let your grandson and your wife check those out, and then they push it and says, "Does that hurt?" And you say, "Yes." And so they go, choo-choo-choo-choo. Just keep putting it. You be careful with all of that. But the pain is still there, but I have no animosity against the people who stabbed me. I'm not going to get around them again so they can do it, but do that. What'd you say, Gene?
I said, did you forgive them?
I did. I did. And I even gave them a blessing. Yes, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so was not done to me, but it was done to my child.
Yes.
Does that mean I don't have the right to forgive that person? It has to be between my child and that person.
You cannot forgive.
Because it wasn't done to me.
That's correct. You do not have the authority to forgive someone else for a situation you didn't have anything to do with. You can't do that.
Or hold a grudge against
them. No, you can't. You can't do that. That's not. But why can't you? What's the punishment if you do this? You rot inside. Folks, don't you know, don't you remember those who have done something so much damage to you, and then you feel the fire coming up inside of you of bitterness, and you don't just want to strike back. You want to, as Mammy Norrie would say, you just want to slap her jaws as hard as you can. You know, you feel the fire. Haven't you ever hurt so bad where you start burning at your feet and it's coming all the way up and the anger is there so bad you want to strike out? Well, guess whose blood pressure that affects? Not the person on the other side, right? It's us. But as human beings, well, okay, let me do it this way. You and I have a right. Now, some people say don't be angry. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture said be angry, but sin not with the anger. You have to be angry at the things God is angry with. You're supposed to get angry when they do harm to your child. You're supposed to get angry when out of no reason that you see harm done to anyone else, then you get angry. That you're supposed, why? Because you're a Christian and God's angry with them. When you hear a false doctrine taught, I get angry. Why do I get angry? Because I know it's a false doctrine. And so the anger wells up in me, but how do I keep that anger from destroying me? Do I not do my enemies a favor by having a stroke or a heart attack because I allow my anger to overwhelm me? Do you really think that it's going to break their heart that you die of a stroke or a heart attack? Well, if it had been up to me, Vance would have been dead a lot sooner than he is now. But that's reality.
Today the Pope said yesterday that you don't have to be Christian to go to heaven.
Yeah, that one, yeah, he said that several times. You know, there was a big controversy over why when he said you don't have to be saved to go to heaven. Don't have to, yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
We're put on this earth to do God's work.
Yes.
And forgiveness is part of God's work.
That's correct.
If we do not forgive, then our rewards in heaven is limited.
And your rewards right here. When you forgive, yeah, it doesn't, you know, when you don't have the bitterness in you and weighing you down, don't you feel healthier? Because you are healthier, and you feel more spiritually connected with Christ. Why? Because you are more spiritually connected with Christ.
Now, what about the individual that shoots my son?
Yes.
He's dead.
Yes.
Say, I forgive you.
Yep.
Now, can I do that?
Well, you'd be like the other guy who said, "Well, I tell you what." And he asked the guy. He said, "Are you a Christian?" And the young man said, "No, I'm sorry. I dealt with too many criminals over there." He said, and the young man said, "No, I'm not." And he said, "Well, you got an hour and 15 minutes to get right with Jesus because I'm sending you to meet him about that time." And I see exactly where you're coming from. How do we as human beings, how do we process an anger when someone's harmed or killed our child? So how do we process that anger? We can't on our own. That's where church comes in. That's where the friends. That's where the body comes in. Now, you got to catch him, girls. You can't do what the judge told me one time in the old days. Now you don't have to have him in the house. But he said, if you're going to kill him outside on the front porch, you drag him in after you kill him. You don't have to do that in Kentucky now. Hey, no, you don't have to do that now. You can just let them lay out there. But please, I stress this with you all the time. Home invasions are rampant, folks. Look at this. And they pick the elderly. They pick to go to their homes. Forgiveness and hurt are different. You cannot control hurt. You can control forgiveness. Now, I will forgive you for what you have done, but the hurt in me is so great. Please don't ever let me see your face again. That's the dealing with someone who's killed your loved one or did it maliciously. That kind of pain is in you. Fine, get away from me. But, okay, I said that wrong. Say it this way. If that individual killed my son, I can't forgive that individual. The crimes against my son. I will not allow my anger, I'm hoping that I wouldn't, allow my anger to be so overwhelming that I would take revenge. But how can I forgive someone for something they've done to my loved one? That's my loved one isn't here to forgive them if that takes place. It's not, don't you get aggravated when someone said, "Well, I thought you was a Christian." And then they start telling you what you as a Christian ought to act like. And then I say, "Are you a Christian?" "No." And I said, "Well, how do you know how I'm supposed to act?" But the Lord says he doesn't want us to eat up with this stuff. Folks, how many people you've seen action from others have destroyed their mind? Somebody else's actions control you. You can't let that happen anymore. We heard enough with our own stuff, don't we? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, say the shoe's on the other foot. Let's say I'm involved in a car accident and I killed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I can't ask that person's forgiveness because they're dead.
That's so correct.
What do you do then?
Well, only thing that you can do.
Ask God.
Well, yeah, but you got to remember something. The majority of the car accidents are accidents. The only thing you can say during an accident is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You didn't do that on purpose. On the other part, I'm talking about people who do it on purpose. But during an accident is an accident. Even recognized to the point that God recognized it, as you'll see in the Old Testament, that he set aside whole cities. That if it was accidental, that individual could run to the city and nobody's allowed to touch him. The cities that would protect them from that. But if it's an accident, it's an accident. All you can say is, I'm sorry, and it will break your heart. And you will deal with that for the rest of your life, even if it's an accident. All these people say, I've forgotten the visions of war. No, you haven't.
I would think.
Or you never had them.
Wrong that if someone killed my son for my own well-being,
yeah.
I could say, you know, brother, I forgive you for that. But vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Yeah, and the thing is, too many others will say, though I'm sorry to smile that way, but it was the idea, and the Lord busy, so he sent me to take care of it.
But
is that not human nature? Isn't that the way we will do? Listen, all these people, I remember telling you all about the woman that was so pious, she let me know that I will not lie. Well, I said, if somebody comes to the door and say, are your kids at home? And knowing that if your kids are home, they're wanting to kill them, will you lie? Yes, I will, because it's right. And I said, you don't deserve your children, lady. So she never came back. But you think of that kind of stuff. That's too pious. Even angels can get too pious, can't they? Okay. You will never be able to enjoy your own God-given free forgiveness for your personal guilt in sin, which you have received through God's pure act of mercy, received through belief in Jesus Christ, his only Son, unless you are willing from your new purified heart to forgive others. Let me remind you something. You're dealing with two natures. Now, old things passed away, all things became new. That's with the new nature. Now, my whole battle all my life is going to be my new nature trying to win the war over my old nature, right? You all relate to that? Okay, so I'm in battle constantly with the devil on one shoulder and angel on the other type of bit. That you are battling there. Well, that battle with forgiveness, can you not see yourself, the new nature of Christ that is in you? You can see the hope of forgiveness, but the other side of you can't bring it to pass from your lips. There's one time in my ministry that I would never say this, but I have grown a lot over the years, and I do understand that because the battle is between good and evil inside of each one of us, the new nature is perfect, and it's going to, that's who you really are now. But again, the battle's with this human mind, the human condition. And once you have been harmed humanly within your mind, folks, you do not get over that. Well, just give it to Jesus. I get so aggravated, some people saying that, like, you're not trying to. It's a battle that you're dealing with. It, just give it to Jesus isn't just as simple as just saying that either. But in order to, from your own heart, to forgive others. But again, you got to remember, I can only do that with someone who's hit me directly. I can't do that, if somebody kills my son, if somebody does something to my family. And God forbid that they would even consider the idea of doing anything to my grandson. And you all know exactly what that means. That and yet, we are to have the new nature enough to know that vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. Do you know why God said for us not to deal with vengeance in our own life? If we do it, the scripture says, God will back off. The greatest punishment is from God, folks, not from you. The greatest punishment on that individual will come from God. And he says if you intervene in this, he will withdraw from that. Don't forget that one. However free the mercy of God is to man, our merciful disposition towards our fellow man is necessary before we can find inward peace and enjoyment in it. Is it not? However, according to the general teachings and understanding of Scripture, this rule of forgiveness does not condemn self-defense by lawful means. By lawful means, meaning if someone's breaking in your home, do you have a right to stop them and you fear death? Yes. It's, do not be foolish with that. Does it mean that you can protect an innocent person and then you are not charged with wrong? Yes, it absolutely does. Luke 22, 35, 36, as you have heard me read. Then Jesus asked him, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Well, nothing, they answered. He said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, if you don't have a weapon, sell your cloak, which is the most important article, and go buy one. And Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Now, why did he say that? He said, before I was here to protect you, I'm going away. Is not your body the temple of God? Are we not charged with protecting the temple of God? Why do people who get on drugs and all this other stuff and overdo it, why are they living in such misery? They are allowing evil to come within the temple of God. You are to protect your family. You are to protect yourself unless you're called by God to do differently. Now, are there individuals that will not fight back? Yes. Jesus was one of them, was he not? Was he not on the cross, and did he not say, you couldn't do it? You didn't kill me. I lay down my life for my sheep. Yes, sir. Did you have a question?
Well, again, and added to that, Peter said then, look, Lord, we have two swords. Yeah. And the Lord said, that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, Peter was wanting to get a whole arsenal. hey, we're not going to bounce around. How many more we need, Lord? Okay, here's something I wanted you all to read. Now, remember on that Matthew 6:14, that's those who do not forgive others should never sin themselves. That's sort of the statement here. Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. He became the founder of the Methodist Church during his voyage and during John Wesley. During the trip, where he had been, he actually was converted to evangelicalism almost. But listen to what happened during the boat ride. None of the Navy guys are here, so I don't have to call it a ship. The Reverend John Wesley, in the course of his voyage to America, hearing an unusual noise in the cabin of General Oglethorpe, the governor of Georgia, with whom he sailed, stepped in to inquire the cause of it. The general addressed him, Mr. Wesley, you must excuse me. I have met with a provocation too great for man to bear. You know, the only wine that I drank is Cyprus wine. I therefore provided myself with several dozen of it. And that he wasn't a Baptist. See, he had to be a Methodist. Several dozen of it. And this villain, Grimaldi, his foreign valet, who was present and almost dead with fear, had drunk up the whole of it. But I will be revenged on him. I have ordered him to be tied hand and foot and carried to the man of war which sails with us. The rascal should have taken care how he used me so, for I never forgive Then I hope, said Wesley, looking calmly at him, you never sin. Now catch that. The captain said, I never forgive. Then I hope, sir, said Wesley, looking calmly at him, you never sin. The general was quite confounded at the reproof, and putting his hand into his pocket, took out a bunch of keys, which he threw at Grimaldi. There, villain, said he, take my keys and behave better for the future. Well, all of us learn lessons, and I want to make sure you all got that one, so I printed it for you. Okay, let's listen to Matthew 18, 21 through 35 as I close. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient, I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had a man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. I suppose that Jesus is talking about something worse than waterboarding here on the torture part. Remember, folks, what you and I need to really focus on, we're living the human existence. We're living the spiritual existence with our humanism as to the best that you can muster up the love, muster it up. For even if God sees that you have a glimpse of wanting to forgive within your heart, he'll take care of it because he understands every weakness of every one of us.